Support for Iditapod, a production of Alaska Public Media, comes from MVFCU. Experience the MVFCU way.
Welcome to another bonus edition of the Iditapod. We have another extended interview for you. It's rather extended, longer than some of the other ones, but it's a good explanation of what happened with a dog named Dylan, who ran down the trail after the Iditarod teams from the Finger Lake checkpoint all the way up to Rainy Pass. It's like 30 miles. Dylan lives at the Winter Lake Lodge, which is on Finger Lake, and Quince Mountain talked to the owner and the manager of the lodge to get kind of the real story behind what happened with Dylan. So here's that interview. I will let Quince introduce everybody. Enjoy.
We're saving Dylan's reputation.
No one's going to think Dylan is a stray dog.
That he was not.
Yeah. So this is for Iditapod, which is a podcast about the Iditarod from Alaska Public Media. Oh, okay. So we want to set the record straight a little about Dylan. But first, can I ask you just to say, both of you, to say your names and who you are?
Yeah, I'm Carl Dixon, and I'm the owner-operator of Winter Lake Lodge, which is the third checkpoint now on the Iditarod Trail up in the Matanuska Valley near the Hayes River Junction. Along with my wife, Kirsten, we operate the lodge here.
And I'm Lisa Ratten. I'm the front of house manager here at the lodge. The first piece of news that came out was from KTU, and nobody called the lodge to ask any questions. And so it referenced, the headline, I think, said a stray dog ran down the trail.
Dylan is most certainly not a stray. He's we're very proud of Dylan. He's a gift from Dee Dee John Rose Kennel. So he certainly has Iditarod genes running through his body, and he's well-bred, well-mannered. He's just full of energy.
And he's what, like 19 years old?
I think he just turned two. He's 2 years old. So that's a young dog. There are some two-year-olds on some Iditarod teams. But he has not run the Iditarod. He's just started in harness, you know, in this last year. So.
And which one of you is the one who discovered Dylan was missing?
One of our crew went to do the morning souping of the dogs, which is what we do every morning, get some water in them, and before we run them later in the day. And I got a call on the radio and said, hey, somebody's missing. Has anybody seen Dylan? His chain is gone. He's gone, and we don't see him anywhere around. So it was one of our crew that tried to track him down. We thought, well, okay, he's just visiting. He broke his chain. He broke his S-hook. He's visiting one of the other dogs. So our crew member followed the track of dragged chain, if there is such a thing, and it wound around the dog yard here and there, went around behind one of the cabins, and then all of a sudden it disappeared.
And then?
Well, then we went on a search party. Yeah. We were really concerned that he was missing, and we had some guests here, actually, who helped. We took the snow machines out, and, you know, we went different directions and tried to look for signs of dragged chain, and we couldn't turn anything up. So we were quite worried, especially because he's new here. I mean, some of the other dogs, in the summertime, we let all the dogs run around the property free because it's too, obviously, you can't mush here. And so they're really familiar with the whole area and the smells, and they really know that this is their home. When did we get Dylan again?
We got Dylan in early January, right?
So he's only been here for a couple months, and so we weren't sure with him missing. And all the dogs get really excited. I mean, the Iditarod Trail goes right past our dog yard, and so the dogs all run around and are barking. And we thought, you know, maybe this was really stressful for him, and so, you know, it was kind of alarming that he was missing.
So we knew that he wasn't around the yard, and I'm thinking, oh, Dee Dee is going to kill me. So so we have the comms group with the Iditarod checkers and so on are down on the ice. So we got a hold of them and said, hey, could you do us a favor? Maybe call ahead and see if for some reason any of the mushers, as they approach the next checkpoint, ask them if they saw a dog while they were on their way.
So our, yeah. So Leslie is our head of communications down here at the Finger Lake checkpoint. And she called ahead and she said, it appears that there is a dog that followed Ryan Reddington's team, or he was between two of the teams. And it seems to match the description of your dog. He's really distinctive looking. He's a beautiful dog. He's, you know, mostly white, and he's got kind of brown spots and these cool patches over his eyes. And he was dragging a length of chain. And they saw him approaching Rainy Pass.
Which is, okay, how far is Rainy Pass, and what's the terrain like between here and there?
Well, it's some of the most difficult part of the trail, and it's about 32 miles, 34, depending on which way you go, I guess. But he begins rolling hills to the west of us here. He has to cross lakes, and then he has to climb up a ridge, and then he has to go down, and then about 10 miles from here, he has to go down the Happy River steps. He has to go around the mouth of the Happy River, then he has to go back up the other side, cross Shirley Lake, cross Long Lake, before he gets to the next checkpoint.
So that's quite a journey. And he went all the way to the next checkpoint?
He did. Somebody found him. One of the guys from Russ Flying Service happened to be up there and said, oh, somebody said there's a stray dog here at the vet station, and he's munching on a snack. And he matched the description of our dog, so...
He had a Didi Genro collar on still. So they, yeah. And so then they, you know, kind of put together like, well, how did one of Didi's dogs arrive all the way here? And so, you know, once we were in touch with them, it was pretty easy to put together that was our missing dog. And fortunately, actually, we had some guests who were departing that day, and Russ Flying Service had, you know, the plane went to Rainy Pass first. It was coming from Rainy Pass to Winter Lake, and so we already had a plane scheduled for noon, and they just put him on the plane and sent him back home.
So what did Dee Dee have to say?
I don't know yet. She's on the trail. She's west of McGrath, further up the trail, reporting on trail progress, so I haven't talked to her, and so I don't even know if she's heard about this yet.
So... how are you feeling about Dylan's media exposure? I mean, he made the front page of ADN, is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. He was. We got word back from town that he was on the front page of the news. So that's quite a story. but we kind of feel like the spotlight has actually been stolen. And one of our other dogs, actually, Fiona, who's she's now in retirement. I think she's 14. She made the trip 2 weeks ago, and it was a much more stunning feat at such an old age that she made it. And she didn't get any media attention. Nobody called to fact check on the Fiona story. So I just kind of feel like this, it's been robbed from her.
Wow. So what happened with Fiona? How did you get her back?
Well, Fiona is just free ranges around the yard. She's profoundly deaf, and she just kind of hangs out and visits the other dog. She's pretty harmless. However, two Italian fat tire bike riders were on their way to Nome, and they didn't stop in here, but they took the trail, which bisects our property. And we don't know if they lured her with snacks or Fiona said, hey, that looks like fun. Let's follow these guys. And next thing we know, I get a call from up at the next checkpoint. It says, hey, you missing a dog?
A little fact check there. So she, you know, she took off up the trail, and we realized she was missing. I think kind of the same thing. You know, we went out. We realized she was missing, but because she's free range and she kind of putzes around the cabins and the property, we weren't really concerned about it because we wouldn't expect her to be in any one spot. And then it got to be early afternoon and still no one had seen her. So we started to look around and we realized she was missing. And at that point, there was not really any traffic. It was before the Iditarod. It was before the Iditarod Trail Invitational. And so we looked down the Iditarod Trail and there were two weaving fat tire bikes and paw prints weaving, you know, stepping over the tires. So we realized that she followed these bikers. And it, we followed her paws, and we couldn't, they could see her kind of turn around and, you know, kind of like she was thinking like, oh, should I go back or should I keep going? And then she kept on going. And, but eventually, you know, they kind of lost sight of the paw prints too. I think maybe they got blown over. And so we knew that she headed that direction, but we didn't know how far she made it. So we actually, then it was later afternoon, we called Rainy Pass Lodge and we said, hey, this is kind of a long shot. Have you, you know, have two Italians shown up on bikes? And Steve, the owner up there, said, yeah, I got word. They have a dog with them, right? So one of the Iditarod Air Force planes had flown overhead and seen the bikers with the dog running alongside them. And at that point, she was about 20 miles from here, about another 12 miles before Rainy Pass. So she was a little bit beyond the halfway point. And he said, you know, we'll keep an eye out for him. So I think they were expecting them to arrive at their lodge about 8 p.m. And he said, you know, we'll keep an eye out for her. We'll let you know if she makes it. And, you know, lo and behold, that evening they called back right around staff dinner time and said, Fiona is at the lodge. She made it.
She overnighted there, though, right?
Yeah, how did that work? Yeah, she spent the night there, and he said actually she was in great shape, and you know they did kind of a brief physical assessment, and she seemed to be doing fine. Mm-hmm. And the next day they had drop off for something at the lodge, and so the pilot was nice enough to swing by here on his way back to town and bring her back. So she was a little hungry, a little more tired, but otherwise fine.
And any changes in Dylan since he's been back?
No, he's back to his old self. He's running around the yard, anxious to run, so we'll be getting him out again tomorrow. One of my Wiseacre friends in town, Chris Owens, just sent an email and said, have you counted your dogs lately?
And so people can come here mushing and meet Dylan and Fiona?
Sure, they could. Dylan's the youngest one, and Fiona's the oldest one.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad to hear they're both back safe, and I think our listeners will be too. They now have a lot of fans, and I hear they can follow you on Instagram, Carl. What's your Instagram?
Are you Carl Dixon?
Space AK, I think.
AK? Yeah, Carl Dixon _AK.
I just posted my first photo today after instruction from the crew, so I'm not too hip on that.
I have a feeling you're about to get some followers, Carl.
That would be great.
Thank you both.
Tail. I mean, what are the odds that two dogs? We've been here for a long time. That's never happened before. And, you know, we randomly let the dogs have a day off. If they don't run, we let them have a day off. And like Lisa said, they don't leave the yard. They hang around with each other and they run around in the snow. And we just never thought that would happen.
Yeah. So we got to send a nice basket up to Rainy Pass Lodge for taking such good care of our dogs.
Maybe send some dog food.
Right. Yeah, yeah, of dog biscuits for the next time.
Thanks for listening to that interview with Quince Mountain and the owner and manager of the Winter Lake Lodge. Stay tuned for another full episode of the Iditapod. Thanks for listening.